And now, Lord, may you speak through me, or if need be, in spite of me, as we meditate upon your word as you give it to us. Give us wisdom and understanding, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As some of you know, I had the last 2 full weeks of August off. I was on holiday, on vacation. I had 3 funerals and a burial called in by Dennings in those 2 weeks. Diane Outerkirk, Steve Angel, Joe Lisco, and yesterday I did the interment for a fellow by the name of Larry Azalis. I was told by a couple of people, my wife not only among them, that I am not to have a staycation ever again because I'm not sure that the town could sustain it if I did it. One of the funerals that I performed while I was off, though, was for the Lisco family. Bill's brother Joe took his own life a couple of weeks ago. And he did it with no warnings. That is to say, the pressure that was building up inside him leading to this terrible and irrevocable decision was shared by nobody. Not his family, not his friends, nobody. All these thoughts, all these problems, all these things swirling and whirling in his mind, he tried to carry on his own until he could carry it no longer. During the service, I liken this to a memory from my high school days. We had one piano in our school, and it spent most of its time in the music room, but if we were having a concert or something like that that required the piano to be up in the gymnasium, it had to be physically moved. And of course, this was in the days before elevators were in schools, before there were handicapped access points. And it wouldn't have helped down in the music area anyway, because the route that we had to take to get this piano up to the gymnasium, out of the music room, down 3 steps, down a short hallway, up 3 steps, up 4 more steps, up 5 steps to a landing, turn 90 degrees, up 8 steps, up turn 90 degrees again, up 8 more steps, and you're finally on the landing level. And this was an upright grand piano. About 800 pounds of piano. There's no way one person could have moved that piano all by themselves. There's no way 4 strong teenagers could have moved that piano up those stairs by themselves. We usually had a crew of between 7 and 10. And, you know, if you lift it all together like that, I honestly felt sometimes like I wasn't bearing my weight, because I was only lifting, you know, the equivalent of about 80 pounds worth of that piano. If everybody lifted together and moved it together, you could fit it up those stairs, you could go around those corners, you could get it where it had to go, and you could bring it back down the same way. I mean, I've tried to move things on my own before. I remember a day not too long ago when I was removing our pop fridge. We had gotten a second fridge from friends of ours, neighbors, and we'd put it in a room to hold our summer pop supply. We realized it was old, it wasn't going to be very efficient. We were going to remove it. Well, one day I didn't have anything to do and nobody was home, and I figured, I'm stubborn enough, I'll get this fridge out by itself. How heavy can it be? I took the door off, I got it out of the room, down the hall, got it up the stairs, and suddenly I realized I didn't have the leverage to get it around the spiral corner at the top of our stairwell. And of course, by the time I discovered this, I was in a position where I couldn't even get back down the stairs without there being a disaster. Luckily, I expected Kathy home in about 20 minutes. So I stayed there. And when she came around the corner and saw the position I was in, I heard my full name, let me tell you. The Bible has, among its many truths, the assertion that we are not meant to be alone. We are meant to be partners. We are meant to share both joys and burdens with each other. Even in the story of the creation of man, the second telling of it in Genesis 2, man is created in Adam. But God realizes that he's created partners for every other living thing, and that the man was alone, and that this was not good. And so Eve was created. Now, I've said before, I'm not sure how literal a truth I take this story to be. It's one of the things I'm hoping to take up with God after the judgment, when I'm hopefully allowed to ask some questions. But the fact remains that the ancients who first told this story and then preserved it in the Hebrew Scriptures were very clear on that truth. People are not meant to exist alone. We're not supposed to be each of us in our own little bubble. Rather, we're part of a wider world. And we need to support each other in that wider world if we're to live as we're intended to by God. One of the critical scripture passages that I alluded to in Job's funeral service was from the fourth chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is an odd book. Tradition says that it's written by Solomon, but it's a very different Solomon than the one who compiled the book of Proverbs or lived the life recorded in the first book of Kings. This Solomon is older, and in looking back in his life, he's seeing ways in which he more or less wasted some of the time that was given to him. So he sought to leave behind some advice that he hoped would make a difference in the lives of those who would read it after he was gone. In the fourth chapter of his book, he wrote this: "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." We are meant to exist together, to work together, to live together, to bear up, support, and help each other when needed, to raise each other up when we're down, to raise each other higher when we're up. We can't do anything that's really worth doing all on our own. Consider the greatest surgeon in the world. How good could he really be without everyone else around him taking care of the rest of the patient's needs and even his own? A pilot may seem to be in sole control of his plane. The pilot's the one in the hat. Everybody else is the ground crew that's needed to get that plane off the ground. And people are watching him from the moment he leaves the ground until the moment he lands again on radar and things like that, trying to make sure that he stays on track. Or consider the Miami Heat from last season. Everyone in Miami was all excited they were going to have LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and the rest of the team. And you can put that all in small letters, the rest of the team. They expected a championship from day one, because they had three of the greatest superstars in the NBA playing on one team. Well, the championship didn't come. They lost to the Dallas Mavericks in the finals, and it became apparent at points during the season that there were struggles with the proverbial lack of eye in team. These three ever do learn to play with each other and with the other nine players in their supporting cast. Well, they will be celebrating championships the way the Chicago Bulls did in the 90s, but that's yet to be seen. Now put this together with the psalm that we were intending to look at today, Psalm 150, which reads this way: "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with clanging cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." Everything that breathes. You, me, all the animals, all the plants, the sea as it rocks and waves, the land as it rumbles and flexes, everything that moves and breathes and lives praises the Lord by its very existence. And we're called to further praise God with our conscious minds for what we've been given. We praise Him in all times. I love how this message came through in the movie Facing the Giants, where the coach is trying to change his team's philosophy. This is a high school football team. He's trying to change their philosophy from one where winning is all that matters to one where praising God in all things is what matters. The team gels around this new idea, producing not just a closer connection with God for all the team members, but also a string of wins that takes them into the playoffs for the first time in years. And when they do lose a game, one of the team leaders turns to the rest in the locker room and says, "Remember what we're supposed to do. Whether we win or whether we lose, we will praise Him." The theme was then repeated by the coach's wife, who, upon being told that her latest pregnancy test was also negative, turns her eyes upwards and says, "In all things, I will praise you." That both the team and the couple received what they were hoping for was in a lot of ways just good old movie magic. But the original sentiment is critical, and that's what they were trying to get across. In good or bad times, we praise the Lord. And we place ourselves in His hands and trust in His word to us. Friends, the beginning of September is one of two new start points in our year. The other, of course, being the 1st of January. Students are entering a new level at school. Most of them are shifting up from one level to another. We've got elementary going to high school going to college. New experiences, new friends, all coming in there. We've got sports seasons gearing up. NFL starts on Thursday. Hockey training camps already underway, and we're counting down, you know, the 1st of October when we get to see hockey again. Cooper's high school football starts Tuesday. He starts football practices Tuesday. TV fans waiting to see what's going to come with the new season of their shows. Well, what changes have happened to their old shows? What new ones are coming? Clubs start meeting after their summer hiatus. Like I say, in so many ways, this is a time for new friends, new plans, and new experiences. It's also a time for new resolutions. For instance, I made a week resolution on January 1st to be somewhat lighter by my birthday. Didn't quite pan out. But in some way, I know that it's partly because I counted on myself to make it happen. If I'm going to lose some weight, it's got to be more than me that makes it happen. What I want to look like by Christmas is going to take some doing, and hopefully it can be done. And I've got a friend online who's encouraged me to join him in a program, and we would keep each other accountable for exercise and food intake. On the 18th, we're taking third stab at Fresh Start Sunday, where we invite some of our old members and adherents who haven't attended in a while to make a new attempt to worship with us regularly. We're also reaching out into the community around us. Our theme for the week is going to be "We Are Called." And I saw this logo and I had to put this picture up. Because we are called by God. We are called by Jesus Christ. Though not necessarily on our cell phones. An emphasis is on the we. Faith doesn't grow in isolation, but with the support of others. We're going to be inviting the people from the neighborhood around us, and everyone's encouraged, like Mike said, with the cards that you've got, everyone's encouraged to invite someone you know who might enjoy learning about Jesus Christ with the rest of us. In standing together, we create a stronger church, but more than that, we're creating a stronger kingdom. If more people in this world stood together with Christian principles guiding their way of living, with Christian faith in their hearts, imagine how amazing the world would be. So let's be strong for each other. Let's praise God with all that we have. Join together with those around us. Let us rejoice as we consider all that we've been given. Let's join our praise and our prayers together. Let's pray. Eternal God, we want to praise you with all that we have, with all that we are. We know that everything is a gift from you. It's a trust. It's something to be shared. It's something to be used to build up the world around us, to build up each other, to bless and be blessings from you. And so, Father, we praise you this morning with our songs. We praise you with our prayers. We praise you with everything that we have and everything that we do. Take us, shape us, change us, and help us to walk with each other, guiding and strengthening and uplifting. As your word says, when we're down, you'll lift us up. When we're up, you'll lift us higher. We want to change, always change, for the better. For the better of ourselves, for the betterment of ourselves, rather, and the betterment of the world around us. Help us to rejoice in newness and beauty, and to stand together in and through all things. Hear our praises as we praise you together. Hear our hearts as we open them to you. Hear our voices and fill us with goodness and light and joy in all of our days. These things we pray in Jesus' name and following Jesus' example.